coming to you live from the studios of the Clinch County News in Homerville, Georgia. It's the Behind the News podcast with Lynn Robbins and Blake Pittman.
Hello, lovely and wonderful podcast people. Welcome to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins. I'm joined by Blake Pittman. We're going to be talking about what's going on this week in Clinch County, Lanier County, Eccles County, and Atkinson County. What's going on behind the headlines and a whole lot more. Some of the things we're going to be looking at this week. Governor Brian Kemp is going to be in South Georgia next week in Clinch, Eccles, and Atkinson counties. We'll talk about what he's going to be down here for. We've got baseball playoff action with the Clinch County Panthers going on this week. Atkinson County, soccer playoffs for them, both boys and girls. We'll talk about what's going on with that. Spring football is kicking off this week around South Georgia. We'll talk about what's going on with Clinch, Atkinson, and Lanier County in their spring football. We'll talk about the new superintendent for the Clinch County school system, some shuffling of administrators in Atkinson County, and a whole lot more. So we'll be getting to that in just a little bit. Before we get to that, though, we're going to thank our sponsors. Our sponsors for this podcast are Lutz Brown, Pegler & Manley Insurance here in Homerville, the Shack Cafe over in Pearson, the Country Cabin Restaurant in Atkinson County, and Roberts Milling Company. We appreciate those folks and sponsoring this podcast. And we're going to get to the rest of the podcast right after a word from one of those sponsors.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
Visit your local insurance folks at Lutz Brown, Pigler & Manley in downtown Homerville, or give them a call at 487-5411.
Hello and welcome back to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins along with Blake Pittman. We're looking at what's going on in South Georgia this week in our South Georgia region and our newspapers and what's been reported. And one of the things that was reported in the Clinch County News as well as the Atkinson County Citizen this week was that Brian Kemp of Georgia is making a visit down here. He will be in Homerville on Thursday, May 9th. I believe he's going to spend the night and going to have an appearance at the Station Number 11 Depot at 5:30. I think it's from 5:30 to 7.
Yes, that's right.
And the public is invited. They're going to have Justin Spivey entertaining. I think they're going to have some refreshments as well. And he's going to be here. Now, the next day, he's going down to Atkinson County. Now, and he's also going to Pearson. And when's he going to be in Pearson, Blake?
He's going to be in Pearson on the 9th. He's stopping in Pearson before he comes to Homerville.
Okay, so that same
he'll stop at
Thursday.
Roberts Milling Company at 3:30, from like 3:30 until 4:30, I think. And or before he comes home, I know he's going to be there at 3:30. I'm not sure exactly how long, but City Councilman Jason Joyner notified me the day that or Wednesday actually that he'll make a stop at Roberts Milling Company. It'll be a public meet and greet. The public is invited to attend, and then he'll leave there and come to Homerville.
And obviously, he's going to Roberts Milling Company to thank them for being a sponsor of this
That's
podcast.
Right. That's right.
But you know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day, Blake, and it's sort of rare that a sitting governor comes down in this part of Georgia. The last time that happened, now Roy Barnes came down here when he was governor like twice in 4 years. One time just to give Sheriff Winston Peterson an award, you know, the Liberty Bell Award down in Fargo, which is a Lapa Circuit award. But he came down here twice. Sonny Perdue came down here when he was governor to open the visitor center at the Suwannee River.
That's right.
But other than that, I can't remember when a sitting governor came down this way. So we're glad to have Brian Kemp now on Friday morning. He's going to be in Eccles County, and from what I understand, he's going to sign legislation which is going to allow hemp manufacturing in the state of Georgia, which is voted on by the legislature.
That's right.
Back in last month. And one of the things about that, and that's not hemp like making into marijuana. It's hemp for industrial purposes.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, and also medicinal purposes. But almost all the states in the United States have now approved that. And I was talking to a farmer here just the other day, and he said that we really need that. And he was planning on growing it because there's some concerns. And we're going to have a story about this in all of our papers pretty soon. A lot of people in agriculture in this part of the state are very concerned about the effects of some new laws on the federal level are going to have on blueberries and also fruit growing here in South Georgia. And particularly, I think it was NAFTA that they revised and made it into a new thing, and it really opened up Mexican producers coming into our markets at different times and doesn't allow protections for our fruit. And that's going to create a problem unless the government does something about it. And a lot of people here are concerned about it. So in the coming weeks, we're going to be going into that in our newspapers and doing some stories about it, because especially in Clinch, I saw some figures that they estimated, and some of the impacts in Clinch and Eccles County particularly are really serious business. So
yes, they are.
The people here need to know about that, and maybe we can raise enough cane to get the federal government going and doing something to help protect our guys.
Well, you know, Lynn, especially with the way it is here now, especially with our blueberry farmers, I mean, we have so many of them around the area, and when the blueberry season comes in, they start from Florida and go all the way up the East Coast into Canada.
Yep.
And we already have enough time keeping the market competitive between all of our local and American growers. I can't even imagine what that would look like if they start flooding the market with, I mean, the prices are already dropping now on blueberry production. I'm with you. They need to know. Maybe we can use the powers of the media to raise some attention.
Well, and it, apparently the number of acreage or the number of acres being producing blueberries in Mexico has just skyrocketed in recent years. They don't have to pay the people as much because they don't have the cost that we have in the United States that we have to have for quality purposes. And
that's right.
It's anyway, serious business, but hopefully something will come about. But we'll be having that in your local newspaper fairly soon. We're recording this on Thursday about 4 o'clock. In an hour, Clinch County will start their Panther baseball playoff run. They host Tryon at Cecil Barber Field, a doubleheader today, 5 and 7:30, and then a third game, and if necessary, is going to be held tomorrow, Friday at 2. It's a best of three series. Tryon, Clinch got a bye because they were the sixth seeded team in the playoffs. Top eight teams got a bye. Tryon absolutely dismantled Miller County, shut them out, I think, 10-0 and 12-0. So they come over here pretty hot. They come up from a region that's really tough, that same region with Gordon Lee and Darlington and a lot of private schools. So it's going to be a tough matchup at Cecil Barber Field in just a little while. So, and that's really the only team in our coverage area that's in the playoffs still.
Yeah, it is.
And baseball. Now, in soccer, Atkinson County, tell us about what's going on with Atkinson County soccer.
ATCO girls, the Lady Rebels, actually played second round of the state playoffs yesterday in Pearson. They played, Atlanta Classical Academy. Lost a heartbreaker in overtime. Atlanta Classical led most of the game, 1-0. ATCO scored in the last 5 minutes, tied it up, and then lost in overtime. Mm. Yeah, and so they, I spoke with head coach Layla Taft just a few minutes ago, and she said the girls were, they're real heartbroken because those games are tougher to get over with than if you get blown out by 10 or 11 points, and you play that hard and come back and tie the game up and then lose it in overtime. Now, the boys' team, they play today here in the next hour. They play Drew Charter Senior Academy from Atlanta, second round team. Now the boys, the Rebels boys varsity team, are ranked number 2 in the state right now, just behind Georgia Military. They are favored to win the game. Last week they blasted Montgomery County 10-0 in Pearson. So a win today would propel them on to the semifinals, quarterfinals. Final four, whichever would you call
semifinals
that.
Semifinals is final four. Final eight is quarterfinals.
There you go. They'll be in the final four if they win today.
Mm-hmm. Now, they play just single games in that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. There's no series. It's a single game. I'm not real familiar with how the game of soccer works anyways. I thought they play extra long periods, I think.
Well, now, I'm wondering if the overtime period went into penalty kicks, the thrilling penalty kick.
I've watched soccer off and on TV, but it's never been a sport I studied because we've never had it in Homerville. And I'm sure if we had it here at Clinch, I might have been involved in it. I'm not sure. But.
Soccer's one of those games to me like golf. I used to play it when I was a kid, and I loved playing it.
Yeah.
I hate watching it.
Yeah.
Same with golf. I cannot watch golf on television. I love playing it, but I find it boring to actually watch.
Football's tough enough to learn what all the referees' hand signals mean. Then you got to learn what card colors mean in soccer and all that stuff. But you do got to be in pretty good shape to play soccer.
Physically, the second most excruciating sport there is known. Yeah. What is the first?
The first most excruciating sport?
Yeah, physically excruciating sport.
Is this like a legit trivia question?
This is a legit trivia question.
I don't know, maybe like a triathlon runner or something to that effect?
Motocross motorcycling, going up and down on the motorcycles, you know?
And especially crashing that joker into that wall.
Because also you have to wear sort of thick clothing, and it's hot. And that's number one. Soccer's number two, according to me. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. I'm Lynn Robbins along with Blake Pittman. And just a little bit, we're going to be talking about spring football and have some education news and a whole lot more right after this word from one of our sponsors.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Roberts Mill & Company, your local feed and seed supplier on West Albany Avenue in Pearson, Georgia. It is also brought to you by The Shack Cafe, located at 74 West Albany Avenue in Pearson. The Shack is open from Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. They have a hot bar for breakfast and lunch, as well as burgers, fish, chicken, and steak all throughout the day. Also, for one of the best steaks around, check out the Country Cabin Restaurant, located at 879 Mary Batten Road in Pearson. They have the best steaks, chicken, and seafood around. They are open on Thursdays from 5 to 8:30 p.m. and Friday and Saturday from 5 to 9:30 p.m. Come out and see what it's all about.
Welcome back, gorgeous and beautiful podcast listeners. I'm Lynn Robbins. You're listening to the Behind the News podcast. I'm joined by Blake Pittman on this beautiful Thursday in Homerville, Georgia. Many of our schools this week and next week are starting up spring football. Lanier County started up yesterday on Wednesday, and they will finish. They had 48 kids signed up, which is good for Lanier County. They had over 80 with the middle school kids also coming out. And they will play a spring jamboree with Atkinson County on May 17th. That's a Friday, and it'll be in the new Raymond Jones Stadium. They got a new stadium over in Berrien County in Nashville. So it'll be a jamboree between Berrien, Atkinson, and Lanier. Atkinson, I assume, is starting either Monday or this week.
I'm not really sure. Monday.
Yeah. And that's when Clinch County is starting spring football as well. They have 2 weeks. And then Clinch will be going to Pelham to play in the spring game. Now, if you remember Pelham last year, I think they were 12-1 on the season and made it to the semifinals and got beat by Irwin County in a really good game. I think it was the semifinals. And they've got most of their guys coming back. They've got that coach over there, Dondrell Pinkins, who used to play for South Carolina and was also at Mitchell County, who's a good coach. And so that's going to be – and, of course, we played them last year over here in the spring game, and I think the final on that was like 14-7. It was a defensive battle. And so Clinch County and Pelham, that could be a preview of a big playoff game later on – in the year. Clinch, I think, is going to have a lot of people out.
Yeah, well, you know, I know it's kind of early to start making predictions and assumptions and whatever, but there's a lot of, especially on the Facebook high school football page, there's a lot of talk about Pelham on about how people are expecting them to make a, you know, a good run into the playoffs in the postseason this coming year. So, yeah, we'll see. Only time will tell.
Well, you know, they earned some respect last year, Blake, because in Region 1A, Region 1A had developed a reputation as not being very strong. And then they would have a region champion that won, you know, 10 games during regular season or nine or whatever. And then they would get blasted in the first or second round of the playoffs. And that wasn't the case last year with Pelham. Pelham looked great in the playoffs and, you know, obviously played a very good Irwin team and lost to them. But it was close throughout from what my understanding. And so, yeah, they, I think, have gotten over that hump, and they're going to be formidable. And it's going to be an interesting spring, especially with Clinch having lost four out of five offensive linemen. That's the key. And you, as a former offensive lineman, know that
it's tough.
And I remember so many years, and I don't know if you were playing them, but I don't remember what year it was. Don Tyson was a quarterback.
That was either my sophomore or junior year.
Okay. And his junior year, he had a really good year passing the ball and throwing the ball. And I think we did pretty well. And the next year, I thought we had him. We had Danny Cobb back. We had some other guys. I thought we were going to be really good. And it took a while because we had to replace almost the whole offensive line.
Every single one of them. I was the only returning starter.
Yeah,
on that
and
team.
We yeah. and we struggled for a while because of that. And
but then 2 years later, they were senior laden and had six starters.
And if you look at the great teams that Clinch County has had, I mean, especially like 2002 when we had, I mean, just a stalwart offensive line. And last year we had what? A lot of those guys were 3 year starters, Langston Hendricks and stuff. I mean, that is, people underestimate the importance of offensive. But if you have an offensive line, you can do a lot of stuff. But it doesn't matter how good your skill position guys
are.
Right.
If you haven't got anybody to block.
If you don't have anybody to block, you're not going to be able to run or pass.
It's like the great Cecil Barber used to tell us, quarterback can't throw the ball off his back because he ain't got nobody to block for him. But, you know, I will give kudos here to the coaching staff because they are – they have always been excellent, even when I came through the program and played, at making sure that their backups get an adequate amount of practice time. They might not always get equal playing time in the game just according to whatever situation they're in and who they're playing. But in practice, they're getting a lot of reps, especially against a starting defense. So, you know, that gives you a little more hope for the younger guys coming up. I mean, so we'll see. I have full confidence. We'll make another deep run this year.
May 17th, it all kicks off with the spring games. Again, Atchison County and Lanier County going to be doing that jamboree thing with Berrien County in Nashville at their new stadium. Clinch County is going to be at Pelham for their spring game that same night, Friday, May 17th. On May 9th, which is next Thursday, a week from today, Clinch Memorial Hospital is having a Women's Health Day event, and they're inviting everybody, not just from Clinch County, but from around the area to come. It's going to be going on from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and will include blood pressure checks, cholesterol screenings, HIV screenings, some 30-minute educational sessions. You're going to have food. They're going to have – they gave away – 10 free mammograms, and those people can cash those in that won that drawing. And so anybody from the area, they're trying to help mostly folks who may not have insurance that need these services. So if you know somebody that doesn't have insurance, women or even men, that need to take advantage of these free services, or you, or yourself, you know, come on by to Clinch Memorial Hospital on May 9th. That's Thursday, anytime from 9 a.m. To 7 p.m. All right, Blake, the Board of Education in Atchison County made some moves with their administrators. Can you explain what went on there?
That is right. Well, as everybody knows, we reported here last month that Shane Miller, we've been principal for 4 years at the Atchison County High School, left to take a job as superintendent in Miller County. Well, when that happened, they promoted some people, moved some people around to fill in the spots. Now, taking the position of Atkins County High School principal is Dr. Melissa Wilbanks. She was the assistant principal under Miller for a couple of years. She will be taking over that role. They also moved Mr. Anthony Davis, who was principal at the middle school, to the Willacoochee School and promoted Dr. Calandra Holmes to middle school principal. They'd also named Susan Garrity as an administrative position. They hadn't named her as an assistant principal yet, but that's kind of the role she will be filling. Congrats, I can't even talk today. Now, as far as elementary school goes, those Jared Morris is still there and all. But they made a couple of moves to kind of help bolster an already strong education system that they have. And that when the new school year starts, you can expect to see these faces in different places.
And over in Clinch County, they made one of those one move official yesterday. They had a call, the Clinch County Board of Education had a call meeting and approved Lori James as the new superintendent. She'll be replacing Dr. Donna Ryan at the end of November, beginning of December. And they had voted on Dr. James as the sole finalist about 2 weeks ago. She has been an assistant superintendent, has also served in the school system as a teacher and a counselor, both at Clinch County Elementary and Middle School and also at Clinch County High School. And now she officially will be the next superintendent of Clinch County Schools. So congratulations to her. And again, that will be in this coming week's paper. It happened on Wednesday after this week's edition went out. Also happening this week, we have a new Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure podcast. So, Blake, tell us about this week's episode came out on Tuesday.
That is correct.
And tell us about that, and then tell us what we're going to be doing next week.
This week's podcast, Lynn, was quite the adventure. It was a little longer than our last podcast, just because at certain times when Ben and I get discussing certain things, we don't really pay attention to how much we're talking. Mm-hmm. So we started this week's off like we did last week's. We gave a Game of Thrones recap, which was a little bit longer because there was a lot more that went on this week. A lot of people died. We talked about that. We honored the dead of the show. Then we went into our top five of the week. Our top five for this past week was our top five musical albums of all times across all genres. And I just want to say that was a very tough list to compile. Mine actually had more than five on it, which you will hear Ben fuss at me about.
You had like nine.
Well, I had two spots that were occupied by two albums. And when you hear the podcast, you'll understand why. I thoroughly explain it. One of them was a double disc, stuff of that nature. It's like I told Ben, when you're doing the podcast, you can probably do it how you want to do it. Ben's list was very interesting. We also covered a crazy news story from the land down under, and we got to hear Ben give his not the greatest Australian impersonation he's ever done before, as well as give some updates about upcoming events in the area, upcoming concerts, movie releases, stuff of that nature. Now, for this coming week, our top five list will be our top five movies of all time, which should be another interesting thing to discuss. We'll also do another Game of Thrones recap, as well as some other stuff along the same lines of the stuff we did. If you want more information about that, or if you would like to be included in that top five list, because we want people to give us their opinion, Lynn, and give their input of stuff they want us to talk about, you can find the links, of course, on the respective Facebook pages for the Clinch County News, Atkinson County Citizen, Lanier County Advocate, and such. But if you're on Twitter, you can look us up, Ben and Blake's Excellent Adventure Podcast. We have our own Twitter page, and you can search us at Excellent Dudes. We post updates there. If you would like to contact us by email, you can email us at benandblakesexcellentadventure@gmail.com, or you can check us out at our individual Facebook pages, Blake Pittman or Ben Murray. And however you want to get contact with us, you can tweet us, you can post on our Facebook pages, give us your input, what you'd like to hear us discuss, and give us your top five list. Again, for this week, it is our favorite movies of all time. Now, further on in the podcast, we'll break those down into genres. genres, but I figured for the first one we would, you know, go out and just span all of them. So we hope to.
Now, is it going to be your favorite or the best?
It's going to be favorite this week, Lynn, because if we favorite. Go to okay. we go to talking about best movies, we'll be here for 2 days doing a podcast because yeah. we're not going to ever agree on.
Well, you're not supposed to agree. You're giving your opinion, yeah. right?
So maybe we'll go back and do best movies of all times, and you know, hopefully we can get you to sit in on one of these podcasts and give us your opinions as well.
I'd love to. And I'm going to go ahead and give you some feedback. I think that two of the best albums of all time that should be included on any list, this is my opinion, the Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique, which nobody has caught up with yet, and then Fleetwood Mac Rumors. Those are my two that I think are head and shoulders above the rest. But, you know, the beautiful thing is, in listening to that, I heard some albums that y'all mentioned, you and Ben, that I never heard before. And so I went back and listened to them. And so that's part of what the appeal, I think, of y'all's podcast is that you get to learn something and maybe, you know, find something wonderful that you hadn't thought of.
Well, you know, with Ben's list this week, there was one he mentioned on there. I mean, I'd heard of the group, but I've never listened to the album before, which I knew he would have something abstract on there. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't be Benjamin Murray if he didn't put that on there.
Also, one other thing I want to bring up, and I'm going to try to add this to this Behind the News podcast next week, is sort of a, you know, and Blake, you've been on Facebook before. You understand where these people put and spread this fake news that they have there. Yeah. And then all they have to do is look up, you know, go to Snopes or go to Fact Checker or even just do a cursory Google search and you'll find that these things are incorrect. And it's usually people. And it drives me crazy as a newspaper person when these people just accept this as fact, because you and I both know from our business here that if something is too bad to be true, I mean, it usually is.
Or too good to be true.
Yeah, or too good. I mean, if it just seems ridiculous one way or the other, it's probably not true. There's probably a legitimate explanation
Like McDonald's giving $500 away to the first five people coming in with a pink hat on.
There's a plenty of them. Now, what I've done over the past like 10 years, I found out today, was these people that keep doing this, and like even when people tell them, hey, this is incorrect, they keep on doing it.
That's
I
right.
unfollowed them over the years. Well, today I went back and I reversed that so that I could see what their mistruths and half-truths that they're putting up on social media, and I'm going to bring them here and we can dispel them.
That's great.
So that people will understand that, and that's part of our jobs too, especially locally, is when we hear a rumor or whatever, people come to us and I want them to, and then we can tell them, hey, that's true, or here's the explanation for it, or that's baloney.
Yeah, this should be interesting because, you know, we've got a select group of people on social media that believe anything that you put on there. It's like Santa Claus was spotted in Fargo fishing in the river, and somebody would legit believe that Santa Claus was in a John boat pulling catfish out the bottom of the Suwannee. I mean, people, because it's on Facebook, it was true.
And they're non-discriminate about what they forward. They forward anything.
I tell you, I laugh my rear off sometimes reading some of the stuff people put on social media. That might be something we can discuss on both the podcasts, because if you need a good laugh or you really need to feel good or get a self-esteem boost, all you got to do is go read some people's posts on Facebook, man. You will get a good laugh out of that, I promise.
So anyway, we'll be trying to do that. I'll be trying to do that in the coming week. So be prepared.
Be prepared. Lynn, before we get out of here, you don't have anything else to discuss, do you?
No, I don't.
Before we get out of here, why don't you tell us what Lynn's column's about this week?
Lynn's column this week is titled Bath Time, Nap Time, and the Octagon. And it's some parenting tips from me, from when, and Blake, you know this, you know, when you have, your kids are older now, mine are as well, but you probably have some tips that you can share to younger fathers when they're alone with their kids and have to keep them for a certain amount of time. And these are tips you probably know, but one of them is that, you know, a bath, a dip into a pool, or for you, Blake, a pond does qualify as a bath.
Depends on whose pond it is.
Yeah,
buddy.
And so so that qualifies as the bath, and it gives you tips about how to put kids down to sleep and things like that. So that alone, the column alone, is worth any money you pay for it at the store.
That's funny, a pond. I appreciate that. At least you didn't say a ditch full of dirty rainwater. That'd have been more hygienical, I think.
Well, that's all we have for this week's Behind the News podcast. Tune in next week, and we will go over what's going on in South Georgia and around this world and bring it to you. We appreciate, again, our sponsors, the Shack Cafe in Pearson, the Country Cabin Restaurant over in Axon County, Roberts Milling Company, where Brian Kemp's going to be next week, and also Lutz Brown Pegler and Manley Insurance Agency here in Homerville, your independent insurance agent. Blake, it has been a joy today, and we will be back next week to bring you more of the Behind the News podcast.
And if anybody tells anybody else that I bathe in a pond, I'll come hunt you down. See you next week.